In our gospel this Sunday, our Lord speaks about what it is to be a disciple. He teaches on the concept of being worthy of Him. And we tend to think of being worthy in a way that meets a certain standard. But the Greek word for worthy involves more than merely external behavior, important though that is. And to be worthy of the Lord is to ascribe worth, to give proper weight to who He is, what He teaches. And Jesus starts out telling His apostles, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Jesus could not be clearer. We are to love Him more than we love anyone or anything else. There's to be no person or thing in our life that has greater importance than Him. It's so fundamental is our priority of our love and obedience to Him that eclipses even the most fundamental relationships in our life, that of our families. Our love and honor for our parents is very important. It's mandated by the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother. Yet it cannot overrule the most fundamental of all the commandments, the first commandment. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. Therefore, even the love and the respect owed to parents, the love that parents should have for their children, cannot be preferred to the love and obedience we owe to God. If a son and daughter, even while still a child, were to hear a parent instructing them, him or her, to disregard a clear teaching or commandment of God, that child would have to respond, sorry, Mom, sorry, Dad, but I love God more. I cannot obey you in this matter. Before COVID started, and when I had children come to me confession, they confess that they didn't go to Mass on Sunday, I would tell them, did you ask your mom and dad to bring you to Mass? And they normally would say no. I'm like, well, you need to ask Mom and Dad to bring you to Mass. Because if you ask Mom and Dad to bring you to Mass and they don't, then you're not committing a sin, they're committing a sin. Not just themselves not going to Mass, the first sin, but a second sin of not bringing you to Mass. And then I tell them, tell your parents when you say that, that Father Shear told you to say this to them. I've been waiting for a parent to come to me about that. Hasn't happened yet. I'll start doing it again when COVID's over, and we'll see if maybe a parent will finally come to me. But the same is true of any other relationship. If a spouse, a sibling, a boss, or a government official were to try to compel us to act contrary to God's truth, to His commandments, the answer must always be the same. I'm sorry, but I cannot comply. I love God more. Even if I have to suffer at your hands as a result of saying no, I cannot. I will not comply. The love of Jesus, who is our God, who is our Lord, supersedes every other love or respect or honor due to others, be they persons, philosophies, nations, or political parties. Now you can go and think in our world, though, today, too many Christians manifest that greater allegiance to political parties, to careers, opinions of men in general, than to our Lord and His church. That many prefer worldly thinking to what the Lord teaches. Many cave in and compromise to what others demand of them in order to ingratiate themselves, to gain access, or simply to preserve a false peace. Silencing the gospel is never a recipe for true and lasting peace. Jesus speaks strongly and says that such people as this are not worthy of Him. And we tend to measure worthiness externally by whether we live up to the expectations of us. And while this is proper, it overshadows the more internal dimensions that are a deeper part of being worthy. And the Greek word translated here as worthy is axios, which is related to weights and scales, of weighing something on that scale to balance it out or to have it weigh more than that other thing. That most literally, the word axios means drawing down the scale. It implies of weighing as much or more than something else. internally the concept of being worthy of our Lord here then is that we assign greater weightiness in our life to him than any of the passing treasures or trinkets of the world. That we ascribe that greater worth or worthiness to him than to anything or anyone else. We take the Lord seriously. His teaching is to weigh on us, to carry a weight in our lives. This internal disposition of being worthy of God produces external behaviors then that are worthy of him, of keeping the commandments, going to the sacraments, living out the sacramental life. The Lord paints a kind of picture here for us to show us that if we love anyone or anything more than him, the scales are tipped wrongly. We're not ascribing enough weight, enough worth to him, and thus are living in an unworthy way. That as we size things up in our lives, weigh the true importance of things, we need to remember no person, no political party, no boss, no person at all who seeks our money, our time, our loyalty and acquiescence ever died for us. None of them have ever saved us. None of them is God. That if we esteem anyone or anything before God, then we're weighting his blood, his saving love, too lightly. That's why Jesus went and said, "And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Every disciple, each and every one of us, must be willing to take up our crosses. Because if we do so, there is an ample reward. The Lord originally offered us paradise, but Adam and Eve wanted a better deal. Welcome to the better deal, to Paradise Lost. In Paradise Lost, suffering is a reality. But suffering by God's gracious mercy, by what he did on the cross, is also redemptive. The Lord teaches us that we must join our cross to his. That taking up the cross is a way of losing our life in the sense that it often diminishes our pleasures in this earthly world. But in dying to self, to this world, we find our true life. We find our life in God and the things that he offers. We find that promise of heaven. It's interesting to note that we're often willing to take up crosses for worldly gains. We work hard for a paycheck or to earn that college degree. Why not then for our God? No cross, no crown. The Lord asks of us no less than what the world demands for its trinkets. The Lord teaches that the rewards are far greater than what the world can offer us. That he instructs us to take up our cross. Our Lord's insistence on the need for the cross is not unreasonable. That we can be glad that we spend those years to earn that degree. But going to church on Sundays, giving up some of our favorite sins, can be viewed somehow as unreasonable or just too much trouble, not worth the effort. In effect, though, our Lord demands us to take him seriously, that we give weight to his words, to his promise. And if we dismiss his words lightly, then we're not worthy of him. We do not give proper weight to his words, and we don't take him seriously. This is a bad idea, because he who is merciful summons us now to his truth, and will one day be our judge. We need to be worthy of our Lord, to give sufficient weight to what he says. Respect and obedience are proper virtues for a disciple who accords that worth, that weight to our Lord's teachings, and acts in such a manner, keeping the commandments, living out the sacraments. But Jesus points to what our reward will be. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Whoever receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. Whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because the little one is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward. Our Lord promises that we will receive in return if our priorities, if our passions are right. if we welcome His Word, give weight to what He says and who He is, and even now we can enjoy the fruits of God's Word. It's as we listen to His prophets, listen to His Word in the Scriptures, and see our lives changed, that in welcoming the Word to our lives, we can be less anxious, more patient, more loving than before. And we will have greater wisdom. We will see sins and sinful attitudes reduced. Graces abound in our lives. And further, Jesus goes and says, He will reward every work of mercy by us. And in effect, the small share of that cross. Now, God will forget our sins, but God will never forget the good things we have done. We'll not be outdone in the generosity that we have done with those good things, that He'll give us far more in return for that small good deed. The Lord does not demand the cross without pointing this out to us, without pointing out what He will give us in return. The cross ushers in the crown. Do we believe this? Do we take our Lord seriously? Do we give weight to count as worthy the word that He speaks to us? Do we live as that disciple, worthy of His name? Are we worthy of going to heaven?